Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sarigaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Okay, page 23. Srila Sukadev Goswami continues, in each of those tracts of land there are many gardens filled with flowers and fruits according to the season. And there are beautifully decorated hermitage as well.
Right, so the idea that the variety, that the fruits and flowers will be according to season, right, rather than everything will be available all the time, you know, is considered a nicer thing, because then you get the variety, the different colors, different tastes, different, not this.
You actually get the taste.
Yeah. Yes.
And there are beautifully decorated hermitages as well. Between the great mountains demarcating the borders of those lands lie enormous lakes of clear water filled with newly grown lotus flowers. Aquatic birds such as swans, ducks, water chickens, and cranes become greatly excited by the fragrance of lotus flowers, and the charming sound of the bumblebees fills the air. The inhabitants of those lands are important leaders among the demigods, always attended by their respective servants. They enjoy life in gardens alongside the lakes. In this pleasing situation, the wives of the demigods smile playfully at their husbands and look upon them with lusty desires. All the demigods and their wives are constantly supplied with sandalwood pulp and flower garlands by their servants. In this way, all the residents of the eight heavenly varshas enjoy, attracted by the activities of the opposite sex. Srila Prabhupada comments, here is a description of the lower heavenly planets. The inhabitants of those planets enjoy a life in a pleasing atmosphere of clear lakes filled with newly grown lotus flowers, and gardens filled with fruits, flowers, various kinds of birds, and humming bees. In that atmosphere, they enjoy life with their very beautiful wives, who are always sexually stimulated. Nonetheless, they are all devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as will be explained in the subsequent verses. The inhabitants of this earth also desire such heavenly enjoyment, but when they somehow or another achieve imitation pleasures like sex and intoxication, they completely forget the service of the Supreme Lord. In the heavenly planets, however, although the residents enjoy superior sense gratification, they never forget their positions as eternal servants of the Supreme Being.
Who are the servants in these?
That I was going to get around to. That means somebody's there and you're enjoying so much, but there's still somebody who's a servant. Didn't quite have enough piety.
So close.
Yeah. Not sure how it works out. But but still, it's a better environment to be a servant in. It's definitely better than here. But see, the element is that. These are devotees, so they're following the Lord's order. And so because they're following the laws, then they're getting the facilities and all that, and they're absorbed in the Lord. So they see these things connected to the Lord. Remember how we're talking about the universal form. So now here's the point of the universal form. How is it that they have all this facility and they're still remembering the Lord? Unless they see it somehow or another connected to the Lord. Right. That's the thing, how the senses function, the environments, all these different things. It's all the Lord and His glories and how He makes all this nice.
But it's just a touch too much on the side of the piety because they get a little bewildered by it.
No, that's there. It means it's basically you only who they're talking about here, that they won't be past neophytes.
Yeah.
You know? Like it mentions here, neophyte devotees, then they don't remember Krishna, then they'll go to places like this.
Yeah.
Right, enjoy for 10,000 years and then come back. You know, whatever's their particular form of distraction, that's what they'll get, and then they'll come back. So the point is, the senses aren't Krishna's problem.
No.
Right? Most of the time it's made it out, God's really sitting there and really nasty, and you do something wrong, and, you know, it really doesn't work out. But actually it's that the senses aren't the problem. The problem is not seeing them connected to Him. So on the platform of universal form, then they're seeing that connection to Him. But it's not necessarily they're looking at it from so much of a philosophical point, but just of His potencies and that, and they're interested in karma. So they see His workings in karma. Right? Does that make sense? You know, so they have that connection. So that's the whole point, is it's not about the senses. Here's another thing that we're getting into. Right? It's not about the senses or not engaged in the senses, it's whether they're connected to the Lord. So here's a connection to the Lord. So they're getting the benefit and they're remaining Krishna conscious. But what's the depth of Krishna consciousness? So they're Krishna conscious. So then that's good. That's why they have the facility. But what level of Krishna consciousness you could get to, now that's another thing. What's being offered, that's something further.
It's a little bit superficial here.
Last 10,000 years. Right? You know, that's the point. Yes.
Krishna is going out for this type of planet.
It'll come up now about the different deities. So they worship, but now how much he goes there and performs pastimes and that, I'm not sure, because most we see are connected here, but we also see that they're throughout the universe. So the incarnations are everywhere. But it seems the more prominent ones are here.
Maybe the ones that still in coming chapters are Archana, the deity form,
being worshipped. Oh, okay, as a deity. Yeah. Because basically it's only on Bhumandala that you see deities, really. And other places in the universe, you don't so much have deities.
Nanda Baba has a deity of Krishna.
He's here?
No, that's what I'm saying. We have deities in the spiritual world also.
But their pastimes are like which of the 14 planetary systems?
Here.
And of here, then of the, then, right? You know, then you have the yeah. Well, you'd have to go here. You know, so in other words, in Bharat Varsha.
Yeah.
Like that. So they play pastimes like Bharat Varsha, not like Ilavrita Varsha or that. That's the whole thing. This is where the more interesting is. Because there they get so distracted by the sense gratification in a nice environment that they may not remember as much about the Lord and about actually interacting with each other. Means they're going to interact very nicely, like that. They're going to be very cultured, but there'll be so much emphasis on the secondary aspect. That's the point. So it's connected to Krishna. Right. Yes?
But also the other aspect of that's what these devotees want. So Krishna gives them such nice facilities that they can enjoy and remember.
Yeah. The point is they have the knowledge, because if you're situated in goodness, then you can function in knowledge. So then in goodness, because you're performing your duties, then this facility is there, technically you could remember the Lord. Like that. But because we generally approach sense gratification with passion and ignorance, there's not really any chance to remember the Lord. Like, how do you see Krishna in something if you're dealing with passion and ignorance? Because it's about yourself, or you have everything upside down. But if in goodness, then you see things as they are. Krishna is the sense. He is the sense object. So the quality of everything is Krishna. So then you can appreciate Krishna. But it's a lower level of appreciating Krishna. But it's connected to Krishna, therefore you see so much facility. Yes, no, that they everybody here is there to enjoy. They have the piety.
Yes.
It's not enough to put them in the swarga, but they're on the Bhauma swarg. You know, what they call it before? Divya swarg? No, Bila is below. Bhauma is here. Mentioned. Huh? I think it was Divya. Yeah, Divya. So they don't have enough for Divya Swarg, and they're devotees, so they don't get the Bila Swarg. Bila Swarg is those who are pious who are not devotees. Divya Swarg and Boma Swarg, those are for those who are devotees. Right? And Bharat Varsha is for everybody.
You know.
Yeah, very liberal.
So in terms of devotion on the this level and then the next up, it's the same kind of devotion, it's just a matter of piety.
Basically, it seems to be that there's not doesn't appear that there's specifically more or less devotion here is on Divya Swarga.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, yeah, like you said, the piety is more, so the facilities is greater. You know, like that. So in that way, they can remember the Lord more because they're doing particular services for the Lord. But at the same time, if they do forget, they forget really good. You know, like that. So there it's nice enough that, you know, it's all the Vedic culture, it's all Krishna's laws. So everybody can see Krishna in it very nicely. That's the advantage of the Vedic culture. Is you can so if you're trained, you can so much more easily see Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
Right? While the modern, you can say, well, we can engage it in Krishna's service, but what's the standards by which you engage it? How do you know it's engaged?
Yes.
Right? It's just like, just say, I cook a Western preparation. Okay? I Yukta Vairagya, I connect it to Krishna, nice. But not how do I serve it? How do I eat it? What's the conversation while I eat it? Is any of that according to the Vedic?
No.
Right? Because, I mean, I'm always shocked because, you know, here in Mayapur, you work good. And generally conversations, you know, even if they go a little bit this way and that way, they don't get too far off the rails.
Yeah.
But so many times you're in the West and you're eating and it's something nice, so people get excited. And they start talking about all the most ridiculous stuff, you know, about how, yeah, you know, I was in India, I had diarrhea and oh, that was so bad. It's just like, I'm eating here, you know, like that. Yeah. Get into that, or you know, oh, something disgusting. They just have, and there was such enthusiasm.
Yes,
you know?
Exactly. And everybody's excited. And
it's kind of like. So that's the thing: is that where do you remember Krishna? Because there's nothing regulating it. So that's the thing: the Vedic regulates it so that it can be seen in connection with Krishna. So the smaller point is what's the point is the preparation, right? But it's the whole package. So the thing is, it's taken as, oh, it's just the food. I eat this food, it's Vedic. I don't eat this food, it's not. But it's the culture. That's the whole thing.
Yeah. Maybe that's why Prabhupada ate the
alone. Yes. It's a good chance that's why he ate alone.
Otherwise, you're not sure
yeah.
Why he's
eating. No. You know, and devotees sit and stare. It just gets weird. Like that, yeah, you know how Prabhupada is pure devotee, and you know he's seeing Krishna, and I said, you know, and he just wants to eat, right? Yeah, because we tend to look at the secondary too strongly. So here's an example of devotees who then the secondary is prominent, but we see the secondary is of good quality because that secondary they connected to Krishna. But it's still about the secondary.
Yes.
Does that make sense? Yes.
What would the person behave like the example who comes here from heavenly planets? Because
how would he behave here when he comes from heavenly planets?
Because the verse that was mentioned about like descendants of monkeys, that like people from heavenly sexual activities, they're like monkeys. And somebody would say that those who are like polygamy and they came from heavenly planets because there is no rules that they know they can follow here.
Yeah, that's monkeys. Yeah, those are the symptoms. That's all you have to look for. You know, because what do they go for? It's always polygamy. What about, you know, holding down a job or, you know, actually being nice to your wife, right? You know, if you have more than one wife, you have to be more nice. It's like this. You know, get like that. Yes, but the point is there is the element where if there's a common enemy, then there's alliance.
Is it better for household life?
No.
You get friends, like wife's friends.
Yeah. But I'm just saying the women will get together. It's not that it's any better for the man. It can be worse for the women or better for the women. But it doesn't necessarily mean it's better for the man.
You know?
Like Manu was giving the point. The king, okay, in the evening after, you know, the evening work, then he goes into the inner palace. So in the inner palace, it seems to be there's areas that are general for all the queens. Then they have their own specific apartments. Right? They're completely separate and, you know, autonomous. They can, you know, complete on their own. They don't have to go next door and borrow some sugar or something. Right? You know? And so that general area, then he meets all the queens. And then, meeting all the queens, he has to glorify each one, you know, in front of all the others. They're all there. So that means it has to be something that's very specific for that queen, that the others will agree, she has that, and I don't, so I won't, or it's more, it's something special, so they won't be upset. Right? And that means naturally, every day, it has to have some variety. Right?
It's kind of boring.
Huh?
It's kind of boring.
It's serious.
It's scary.
Yeah. No. But I'm saying these are kings, so they have that passion, they have that drive, they challenge. But that's what you're dealing with. So everyone says, polygamy, great, but then they can't take care of one. Why are they going to take care of more than one? No, but the point is the heavenly planets. Did you notice that here in that atmosphere they enjoy life with their very beautiful wives who are always sexually stimulated. You know, nonetheless they are always devotees of the Lord. Right? So it's not that they, you know, there's this and then yes, and then we go chant our japa and everything like that. And the wives, in this pleasing situation, the wives of the demigods smile playfully at their husbands and look upon them with lusty desire. So, does that mean it's just, this is how ladies deal with anybody? So, they're dealing with the husband, but now what does the husband have to be dealing to get this? If we're saying, this is how it is, that means they're always dealing in that very proper way. Right? Because it's like this. Don't want to make things scary here, but okay. Here, someone goes to work, right? So you're a certain amount of hours in the morning, certain amount of hours in the evening. And you really have to focus and put in the energy and proper dealings, right? And then the household life goes nicely, right? So now, here, they don't work. So that means that 8 hours where you'd be away, you're having to do that same thing. So,
plenty of gold.
But the thing, one of the points here is that they always are, what do you call it? Bodily strength of 10,000 elements. Indeed, their body is sturdy as thunder. So they never feel fatigued and tired. So therefore, the minds can stay sharp and that. But the point is it's not that they don't have to use them. Right, this idea is that, how you say, you'll go there and there's the, what do you call it, green embroidered couches, and now I think we're up to 70 virgins, I think it is. It used to be a lot less. 72 now. Okay, it's going up. It's going up. And someone was saying, telling us before it was, I forget how many it was, but it was not anywhere near this. It was a lot less. But if you want a guy to blow himself up, 72, he'll do it. You know, if it's only like 10, you know, I don't know. You know, but the point is then you're just going to sit there and then the girls do everything. But here is that the demigods have to do, because it's their wives. It's an interaction. It's family life. You know, so it's serious. But they're always remembering Krishna. So that's the whole thing, is that they can put all this together. Because why are we discussing this? Because we're discussing the universal form. How are they doing? Because they see the universal form. Right? That's the point. We're not just discussing how everybody's having a good time. We're discussing is how they can be Krishna conscious while they're having a good time. Because they see the Lord in everything. That's the whole point. Because we think is if you engage the senses, this Maya, you don't engage the senses, then that's Krishna conscious. No, it's you remember Krishna, it's Krishna conscious. You don't remember Krishna, it's not Krishna conscious. Now, if you're controlling the senses because this is a recommendation, even if you're not thinking of Krishna, but the recommendation is what's given by the acharyas to be Krishna conscious, that's still being Krishna conscious, but not as much. Right? Yes.
And what is their renunciation?
What is their renunciation? It's called getting pregnant. Yeah, then it's kind of like, oh. Their renunciation is everything's connected to, they'll have to see everything connected to the Lord. You know. But the point is it's still not on the level of the soul. Right? So that's why you see these great Paramahamsas and that. The pastimes aren't here. The pastimes are in Bharatvarsha. You know, or higher, you know, Maharjana Tapa Satya like this. Because all these areas of swarga, that's generally no one's... They're interested, not that. They're not setting that great of an example.
It's also kind of boring. I mean, if everything's nice all the time...
There, but that's why it has its variety worked in. It means it'll keep you busy for 10,000 years. No one's sitting there and getting bored. So, but the point is it's still... You think that it's the facilities and the situations that are making me happy. So that's why still, as a soul, you won't be happy.
But from a transcendental point of view.
So that's why there has to be the point of renunciation. Mm. So here they don't have to worry about vanaprastha.
Yes.
Right? But the point is if you're serious about spiritual, you want vanaprastha. You want to get into that. So that means then you'd want to be here. So that's why it says the demigods, this is what they have, they're waiting in line to take birth in the family of devotees. So that they can actually go through and get more serious.
So vanaprastha is a more potent way of seeing the universal form than that.
Yes, because then you're dealing with just essential points, and so then there's much more of the direct. Here there's a lot of indirect. Right? Yes.
Well, if we consider the difference between Arjiva Rasa and Spargiya Rasa, even though the facilities there are nicer, is it still more about the relationships?
I would say so. Otherwise, why is it mentioning in this way? Why does it just, you know, you just say the husbands and wives are together, or just, you know what I'm saying? But it's mentioning what's the nature of it.
So the opulence is greater, but that's just standard field of activities.
Yes, it's just a nice, it's nice, you know. So in this pleasing situation, right? So it said, the wives of the demigods smile playfully at their husbands. So the interaction is more, there's more of that emotional state. So it's not about the senses, but Swargiya Rasa, the senses are going to be taken care of better than if it's just Partiva Rasa.
Partiva is here?
Huh?
Partiva means here?
Yes, Partiva means, Prithvi means earth. You know, earth means sensual. Swargiya means emotional. And then Vaikuntha means transcendental. Yes. Because those ones in between they're just extensions of the other. Yeah, they're just Sundays between. That's why they're not solid situations. Right? It means karma is a solid situation. Jnana on this level is not. It's in between. You should either have to go forward to the one or back to the other. And then the artha, it's either you go forward into dharma or back into sense gratification. You know, otherwise, what's the meaning of its position? Right? You get the facilities, now what are you going to do with it? Use it for dharma, use it for a kama.
So that the modern always goes to kama.
Yeah, it always goes to kama. Like that. You generally don't see a whole lot of modern people doing, you know, recommended yajnas. Yes. It appears so. In these places, it appears that they're all grihasthas. The brahmacharis are going to go somewhere else. You know, why do you want to hang out here?
And it's like waiting for the day.
Yes, they don't have to work. I mean, you'll have to walk down to that, that Jambu Nadi and pick up the gold, and then you're going to have to design it and have it made, you know, because the servants are there. So there's going to be some work, but that's the kind of work. You know, it's like these... these big guys, and they actually have to work at their golfing, right? Get the clubs, put them in the car, you know, get them out, get them on the thing, caddy, walk around, you know, like that, network, you know, stuff like that. So it's that kind of lifestyle.
Playboyish.
Yeah, like that. Playboyish, but they're married. So there's that aspect, because it's dharmic. That's why it's a pious place, is they're dharmic.
But they're also doing all those types of rituals that are supposed to be done, and, you know, they go to all those functions.
Yes, yes. No, it's there. So it's not that the sadhana and things aren't there. It's just that in between sadhana, instead of working, you can just hang out. Like that. Nice places, everything's available, so you don't have to worry about it.
The demons come to that place also?
No, because their heavenly planets actually have more facility than these ones. Because they're demons, they expect more. So why would they want to come here?
So they're not even bothered?
No, they won't be bothered by these, because this is Boma Sorg that we're discussing here. Now, to control the universe, now that has the opulence plus the control. While they don't control the universe, they have the more enjoyment than Indra, but they don't control the universe. Therefore, there's the draw to take over Indra's place. But this Boma, you don't really hear that they'll do much here, unless they're totally frustrated. And then in Kali Yuga, they might take birth in different places to control. But it doesn't seem that there's a big point of demons here, because everybody's just enjoying. What's the control, right? Well, if you come here to Bharatvarsha, then you have the kings and the control and everything like that, so you can actually have more of a...
No enjoyment.
Main thing is just the control. They get frustrated that they can't control things.
And what would be their barns?
Here? Demigods. It's Kshatriya. It's kind of like a Kshatriya lifestyle. Like that. So the demigods is like a Kshatriya barn. That's why then above that Satyaloka, that's more of a Brahminical. So they take direction from those from above. You know, Bhrigu, Brihaspati, they all come from higher. Okay. Sukadeva Goswami continues. To show mercy to his devotees in each of these 9 tracts of land, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, known as Narayana, expands himself in his quadruple principles of Vasudeva, Sankarshad, Prajumna, and Aniruddha. In this way, he remains near his devotees to accept their service. 14. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. To show his mercy means to continue showing his mercy. For that purpose, he remains present in his various forms, atma-tattva, vyuhena. It should be understood that these presiding deities of the various varshas are deity forms of the Lord. This is described in Prahlad's prayer in Srimad Bhagavatam 5.18.8, footnote 11. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Lord Nrisingadeva, the source of all power. O my Lord, who possesses nails and teeth just like thunderbolts, kindly vanquish our demon-like desires for fruit of activity in this material world. Please appear in our hearts and drive away our ignorance so that by your mercy we may become fearless in the struggle for existence in this material world. We may become fearless in the struggle for existence in this material world. Srimad Bhagavatam 5.18.8. Srila Prabhupada adds, in the material world the Lord is always worshipped as the Archa-Vigraha, or deity in the temple. There is no difference between the Archa-Vigraha and the original person. And therefore, those who are engaged in worshipping the deity in the temple in full opulence, even on this planet, should be understood to be directly in touch with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, without a doubt. As enjoined in the Shastras, Archye Vishnau Shiladhir Gurushu Nara Mati. No one should treat the deity in the temple as stone or metal, nor should one think that the spiritual master is an ordinary human being. One should strictly follow this Shastric injunction and worship the deity, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, without offenses. The spiritual master is the direct representative of the Lord, and no one should consider him an ordinary human being. By avoiding offenses against the deity and the spiritual master, one can advance in spiritual life or Krishna consciousness. So this deity worship then is going on very nicely, right? You know, especially here in the Bhumandala. But no, it's here. This is all in Jambudvip here. This is all being described here in Jambudvip. So in Jambudvip, then this is all going on very nicely. Srila Prabhupada adds, in the material world, the Lord is always worshipped as the Archaviguraha, or deity in the temple. Didn't we just read that? Oh, okay, verses 15 to 24. I was thinking, wow. I thought that was the footnote. Why is it saying the same thing? Lord Shiva prays to Lord Shankarshan in Ila Vritavarsha. There is a forest in Ila Vritavarsha for Lord Shiva. Is surrounded by goddess Durga and her 10 billion maidservants. You know, we're talking about some serious opulence here. 10 billion, not 1 billion, not a whole bunch.
No.
You know?
Yeah. More than the
population.
Yeah. She's the lead of them. So they, it means, in other words, the maidservants will all have the same relationship with him as her, but she's the head of that.
And it says that he meditates and worships Lord Shankarshan.
Yes. It means they all work together. It means she'll be the main individual. They'll work as a body, you know, to take care of different things and assisting and all that. So it just means, yeah, they can just do very, very great, big things. It's not that he may not have an interaction with an individual one, but that will generally be with the arrangement of her, right? Because they're like her extension. So things she wants to do, they get done, and then she can just be there and interact. Does that make sense? Yeah. That's the idea. So that just originally comes because here you actually he is Purusha, right? And she is Prakriti. So that this is not illusion here, right? Then you have Krishna. Then that's the natural form, Radharani, and then all the maidservants, and they all expand from her. All of her assistants, they all expand from her, as it mentions, as they're part of her service, you know. And then they're permeated with her affection for Krishna. You know, so this is a farther, you know, we're just introducing a little rasa here and there. That's a few cantos down the road. Like that. In that place, he meditates on Lord Shankarshan and worships him with choice prayers. Sukadev Goswami says, oh, that was the, how you say? That was just the introduction, okay. Sukadev Goswami said, in the tract of land known as Ila Vritavarsha, the only male person is Lord Shiva, the most powerful demigod. Goddess Durga, the wife of Lord Shiva, does not like any man to enter that land. If any foolish man dares to do so, she immediately turns him into a woman. I shall explain this later in the ninth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Right, because there you have that one king who gets turned into, and then, you know, then he gets removed, but then it'll be, I think it's, I can't remember what it is, but I think it's 1 month he's male, 1 month he's female,
yeah.
Like that. So after a while, the citizens kind of get annoyed, you know, because, you know.
We think it's liberal with one sex change. So,
yeah, this is every month, right, you know, 12 times a year, right, yeah. And then, you know, they kind of get annoyed after a while because, you know, you want to go see the king, but, you know, this is the month that he's the ladies, you know. Yeah. Oh, so that everything can get done. Oh, yeah, that could also be. But I'm sure the word gets out also, you know, people are, yeah, are going out of their way, you know. Footnote 12. This special tract of land is known as Sukumara Forest, and it's described in the pastimes of King Sudyumna in the ninth canto. In Ila Vritavarsha, Lord Shiva is always encircled by 10 billion maidservants of Goddess Durga, who minister to him. The quadruple expansion of the Supreme Lord is composed of Vasudeva, Prajumna, Aniruddha, and Shankarshana. Shankarshana, the fourth expansion, is certainly transcendental, but because his activities of destruction in the material world are in the mode of ignorance, he is known as Tamasi, the Lord's form in the mode of ignorance. That means he's not in ignorance, but this is through his potencies, that's how ignorance is carried on and destruction is carried out. So that's why he's known as Tamasi. Lord Shiva knows that Sankarsana is the original cause of his own existence, and thus he always meditates upon him in trance by chanting the following mantra. So even though he's surrounded by 10 billion maidservants, he's always absorbed in the Lord. So that's why there's no illusion. Right? Because if Shiva wasn't thinking of Krishna, he'd be an illusion. Right? But because he always is, then there's no illusion. Mm-hmm. 15-16, Srila Prabhupada comments. This verse explains that Lord Shiva is always meditating upon Lord Sankarsana in trance. Lord Shiva is in charge of the destruction of the material world. Lord Brahma creates the material world. Lord Vishnu maintains it. And Lord Shiva destroys it. Because destruction is in the mode of ignorance, Lord Shiva and his worshipable deity, Sankarsana, are technically called Tamasi. Lord Shiva is the incarnation of Tamaguna. Since both Lord Shiva and Sankarsana are always enlightened and situated in the transcendental position, they have nothing to do with the modes of material nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance. But because their activities involve them with the mode of ignorance, they are sometimes called Tamasi. You know, so this is that difference and non-difference. Right. So. The most powerful Lord Shiva says, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. In your expansion as Lord Sankarsana, you are the reservoir of all transcendental qualities. Although you are unlimited, you remain unmanifest to the non-devotees. Because he's everywhere, but still the non-devotees can't see him, even though he's everywhere. O my Lord, you are the only worshipable person, for you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the reservoir of all opulences. Your secure lotus feet are the only source of protection for all your devotees, whom you satisfy by manifesting yourself in various forms. So these lotus feet, they're secure because they always are there. Not that sometimes they're there, sometimes they're not. Right? So that's the whole point. He's steady in that. So. Footnote 13. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments, Bhakteshvalam means who remains like an ornament for the devotees. Like that. Right, so here again we're seeing these finer points. He's like an ornament for the devotees. The devotees are always there. They're always thinking of the Lord. So that's their ornament. The Lord becomes... So we're thinking he's always thinking of the Lord, so that's his ornament, that he's thinking of the Lord. But technically that means the Lord becomes his ornament. Right? Because you can only think of the Lord if the Lord allows. So that's why it's so hard to get, because the Lord is himself becoming the ornament for the devotee. Right? Right? He wears ornaments, he makes the ornaments more beautiful. But he is an ornament for the devotee.
Isn't it also somewhere described that the devotee, he wears the devotees like ornaments, or that you wear his ornaments, or vibhuti?
Oh, that's another thing. That's then you're not dealing as much with the rasa aspect. Here, that's what we're saying, is here and there. Like, remember, I think it was two chapters ago, there was like one point like this, and you know, so they're slowly being introduced. Not that they weren't always there, but it's just they're being made more obvious. Yes, all the living entities. Yes, then they're like an ornament. But I think, I'm not sure that he's not talking about where he has these snakes, and they're his ornaments, so they're all devotees. Like that. Because there was one place where it was described like that. I think it was with the Pachetas. Yeah, so it goes both ways. We're an ornament for him, and he's an ornament for us. Yes. Oh, my Lord, you deliver your devotees from the clutches of material existence. Non-devotees, however, remain entangled in material existence by your will. Kindly accept me as your eternal servant. We cannot control the force of our anger. Therefore, when we look at material things, we cannot avoid feeling attraction or repulsion for them.
But the Supreme Lord is never affected in this way. Although he glances over the material world for the purpose of creating, maintaining, and destroying it, he is not affected even in the slightest degree.
We see, and then there's, you know, that desire to control, anger, frustration, there's attraction, repulsion. Right, so they all go together. Because if there's attraction, then there's going to be areas where there's repulsion, and then there's going to be where the attraction doesn't work, there's going to be anger, or where we end up with something that we're repulsed by, then there'll be anger. So attraction, repulsion, anger all go together. Right. So if you see one, you know the other two are there.
Right.
Yes, lust would be the basis of all bad qualities. Yes. Because you've transformed the potential love for Krishna into lust. So that's why the forms of everything and the goals that you want are all the same. Just as without Krishna. So lust means not with Krishna. And love means with Krishna.
Therefore, one who desires to conquer the force of the senses must take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. That's how you'll conquer the senses. Right? That's what we were discussing before. Something's going wrong on the material platform, or the platform of morality. The only solution is Krishna consciousness. So that means immorality means there's something going wrong in morality. Right? And so how to correct that? You have to regulate it. Therefore, dharma is the only thing that's going to correct it, right? But the point is dharma is not enough because the living entities are getting distracted. Therefore, it's only the Lord can actually control the senses because the senses are His, right? The material energy is His. Everything's His. So therefore, the only way to actually conquer the senses is by following dharma to please Krishna. Does that make sense? That's how you correct the lower, is by going to a higher. You don't correct the lower by sending the people to even a lower place than that.
You just push around the problem.
Yeah, like that. You know. Wow. You know how sometimes you can take something and just completely turn it around? They're so fun. You know, it's like, okay, somebody goes to somebody else confidentially to speak something, and if you keep that confidential, it's a cover-up, right? By the modern definition. And then if you let it out, then that's truth, that's this and that. But the point is if you're saying that that is truth, and now you're going to deal with that truth by some kind of punishment and all that, that's actually the cover-up. Because the real point is a lack of Krishna consciousness. And so if you're not then therefore dynamically bringing out the Krishna conscious elements between whatever is the moral problem, dharma and Krishna consciousness, how that all connects directly, mechanically, visibly, then that's a cover-up. That's a real cover-up. Because they're covering up that one has to be Krishna conscious and presenting some other mundane alternative. This is the real thing.
But presenting a material solution to a material problem.
Yeah, that there's material solutions to material problems. Yes?
And Goswami says that part of the Krishna conscious dealings is revealing one's mind in confidence and hearing.
Confidentially, yes.
And not revealing the mind.
Yes. Yeah, so that's it. It's modern Rupa Goswami. You take your pick.
I don't know what I want.
So if we go with Rupa Goswami, what do we care about what the others say? Yes.
So this is Kutarka when they play with.
Yes.
All of it.
Yeah, it means that you turn it around backwards.
You turn it
yeah.
Back again.
Yeah, like that, or yeah, it's a, you know, or chala. Like that. Here we're taking their logic and using chala to bring it to the proper understanding. But so that you can use, and that's fun. But if you take the proper understanding, use chala and take it away. That's the thing, is that they'll have words, key words, and if those words come up, then they have their own path. Like that. Yeah, but all these things, these are what mentions the second verse. Like that. It's all the varieties of ways to cheat. So this is another one. You make something that's actually cheating look like as somehow another one's being so ethnic and moral and upstanding and doing something for the betterment of, what is it, you know, what's that phrase? The greater good. Working for the greater good.
Small bad, greater good.
Okay. Okay, just back here then. Therefore, one who desires to conquer the force of the senses must take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. Then he will be victorious. Where does the force of the senses come from? Right? Because it doesn't come from us. Because if it came from us, then we'd be able to control it. So where is it coming from? From the Lord. So that's the part of the universal form.
Yes.
So unless you take shelter of the Lord, then they can't be controlled. The instructions, the devotees, worship of the Lord. You know, that's what I mentioned before, the worship of the deity and following the instruction and respect towards the spiritual master. So that combination, that's what's going to reveal everything. That's what I mentioned. So the, you know, one who has firm faith in the spiritual master and Krishna, then all the imports of the Vedic knowledge are revealed. So that's what we're trying for. So if something is understood, that's what's happening. If it's not understood, that's what's not happening. It's that simple. It's not someone has more brains, less brains. It's not presented properly. Oh, let's go back to the Sanskrit here. You know, no, it just means we're not getting the mercy of the Lord because we're not approaching it from faith in Guru and Krishna. Right? We have faith in our intelligence. Yes. In his purport to text 19, Srila Prabhupada comments, "The Supreme Personality of Godhead is always equipped with inconceivable potencies. Although creation takes place by his glancing over the material energy, he is not affected by the modes of material nature." Right? So that's the thing. We glance at something, our mind takes that shape, we have values about that, and we start, you know, making plans. But he doesn't. He just glances and creates and doesn't. He just creates that environment. So that's Sankarshan. You know, that means he is that environment.
It
means the creation would be the prajumna aspect, but we're saying here is that it's here now, that it is what it is, it has its nature, it functions in a particular way. That's Sankarshan. And in here, then, that also means then, you know, the destruction of it, that's Sankarshan.
Right. Because that's part of its characteristics.
Yes, part of its characteristics. Because it's supposed to be Dharma's established. And if it's not, then whatever's not establishing Dharma is destroyed.
Yes.
Right? And so the material world, since it's not technically about Krishna, that's why people are here, therefore it gets destroyed.
So destruction is the proper function of that
yes.
element.
Yes, yes, yes. The Supreme Personality of God is always equipped with inconceivable potencies. Although creation takes place by his glancing over the material energy, he is not affected by the modes of material nature. Because of his eternally transcendental position, when the Supreme Personality of Godhead appears in this material world, the modes of material nature cannot affect him. Therefore, the Supreme Lord is called transcendence. Right? Before I was saying, because he works with destruction, even though he's not affected by it, he's called Tamasi, right, sometimes. But here he's called transcendence. And anyone who wants to be secure from the influence of the modes of material nature must take shelter of him. Lord Shiva continues, "For persons with impure vision, the Supreme Lord's eyes appear like those of someone who indiscriminately drinks intoxicating beverages. Thus bewildered, such unintelligent persons become angry at the Supreme Lord, and due to their angry mood, the Lord himself appears angry and very fearful." Right? Because they're angry with the Lord, therefore he appears angry. Like that. That's the point. It's not that he's angry.
Right?
He just has his eyes look like, because he's always intoxicated in, you know, the love of the devotees. Because then in this case, then you're talking Sankarshana, which will go back to Balaram. You know, so that's one of how he looks. However, this is an illusion. When the wives of the serpent demon were agitated by the touch of the Lord's lotus feet, due to shyness they could proceed no further in their worship of him. Yet the Lord remained unagitated by their touch, for he is equipoised in all circumstances. So they became agitated, but he didn't. Right? Because the senses get agitated, but they're seeing it in connection with the Lord. Right? Does that make sense? So senses are agitated and then seeing it to the Lord. So that's the residence of Ila Ritavarsh, right? The senses are being engaged and they see that in connection to the Lord. But the Lord is transcendental. He's not affected in that way. So therefore it's the affection of the devotees, that's what agitates him. Right? That's what will catch him. Not an opportunity for the senses. Right? Says, yes? He is the senses, so that's not a problem.
Is he talking here about Nagapatnas?
Yes, this one he's talking about Nagapatnas. Therefore, who will not worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, will not the vision of an intoxicated person be affected? The Lord appears like an intoxicated person to the foolish, a sadrisha. Such a drunk with red eyes loses his discrimination by drinking liquor. But you are not actually like that. You maintain your discrimination and are eternally full of bliss. The wise of Kaliya, who were bewildered by the Lord's beauty, are described. They could not worship his feet, arhane. Agitated by the touch of the Lord's feet, they became shy. Since he is omniscient, he knows about our agitated hearts. Thus they thought, how can we serve him? Right? Because they know, and so now they're thinking, now they're shy. How can I serve? Because he knows.
Right? Like that. So do they have some kind of, you know, romantic relationship?
On the platform, the soul then... that element is a possibility. Here, they're the wives of Kaliya. Right? But it doesn't mean that they can't also simultaneously have that kind of a feeling or towards Krishna on the transcendental platform. You know, so like that it would be. You know, so in here in the pastimes, the two are kind of going together. So the feminine nature that they're, that will come there, because the feminine nature is the same here as there. Right? It's just that there it's about Krishna. You know what I'm saying? The gopis, because of the way of interacting with Krishna through the conjugal rasa, then their being attractive means they can serve Krishna in that conjugal rasa. So it's about Krishna's pleasure in this conjugal rasa. Right? But by the nature that they have, then there's going to be all the variety and adjustments that are there in the mentality because of the shyness, the contrariness, and the elusiveness. Right? So that's going to make the flow of the whole thing. But so there it'll be much more developed, more refined in that, but the principle is exactly the same no matter where it is, even down into the animal species. You know, Prabhupada's saying, I think the bird is there and the other bird comes up and the first bird flies off, and Prabhupada started laughing. He says, even in the animal species, the females play hard to get. Right? You know, says, I remember seeing in Vrindavan, I think in Govindamaras' backyard. And at that time it wasn't as developed as now. So the land next to it had the dirt they had piled up next to the fence. And there was some work going on. I don't know what it was. So the dogs, they couldn't come directly into his land, to his gate, but they could come into the next land and come over the fence. So it was during Kartik, so you have one female dog and 10 to 15 male dogs following around, right? And all that. And she's not paying them any attention, right? But because Govindamars is, you know, quite pleasant with the Vrindavan dogs, and so that, and then I was, you know, at his place and that, so they've seen me around. You know, it's the same dogs in the same neighborhood. So the female dog comes over the fence with all these other dogs, seeing me, then, you know, happy and wagging the tail and completely ignoring the other dogs. You know what I'm saying? You understand? So that's the feminine nature. It doesn't matter what species it is, it still works the same way. You know? you know, drive the it's not that she wants these guys to go away, but, you know, half the fun is driving them nuts. So the part of it is you can just be nice. They're, you know, no, she's not interacting, and then she interacts with some other guy. Who's this guy? You know? Like that, you know. So, yeah, you know, it's the same thing. But there it's being done because it pleases Krishna. Like that. Here, because we're trying to be Krishna, the same forms are there, but since we're not Krishna, then we don't necessarily find it as inspiring as Krishna does. Because here also the girls do it for themselves, because they get the attention for themselves and they appreciate the attention. While there, if they're getting attention, that means Krishna's pleased. So that's what makes them, you understand? So the form will look the same, but it's a difference in which way it's going. The female here is thinking Purusha, but the female there is thinking Prakriti. Is that okay? Srila Prabhupada, and did we start this? Yes. Anyone who remains unagitated, even the presence of cause for agitation, is called dhira, or equipoise. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, being always in a transcendental position, is never agitated by anything. Therefore, someone who wants to become dhira must take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. In Bhagavad Gita 2.13, Krishna said, "Dhiras tatra namuhyati." A person who is equipoised in all circumstances is never bewildered. Prahlad Maharaj is a perfect example of a dhira. When the fierce form of Nrisimhadeva appeared in order to kill Hiranyakashipu, Prahlad was unagitated, right? He wasn't freaking out and running away and hiding under something, you know, like that. He wasn't asking Lakshmi, "Is he gone yet?"
You know. It's interesting. He didn't, but then he got still.
Right? Yes, yeah. Yes, because they have material design. Yeah, yeah. No, they're freaking out. Yeah. And the only one that would get close enough to get Prahlad Maharaj there was Narad Muni.
Yeah.
And even he wasn't. You know, he was a little careful.
Yeah.
No. She's never seen this. How does she serve? How does she do? She doesn't know this aspect of Krishna. So she has a relationship with him based on how she knows him. She doesn't know this form, so that's why she doesn't go. You know, the others are afraid because they may lose their material opulences and stuff. She's not afraid of that. She's just afraid. How does she serve? She doesn't know how to express the rasa. She is Yava. So she doesn't know. Right? So that's why it said in the worship of the Nrisimhadeva, unless he's with Lakshmi, that the girls are very careful, because he's without Lakshmi. So how is it, you know, others will be? Right? If Lakshmi doesn't come forward, why would any other woman come forward? That's the whole point. And also then Grihastha men. If he's with his wife, but Nrisimhadeva's not with his, so then how can... Right? So that's why the Ugra forms, then that's for brahmacharis and sannyasis. Like that. You know, we, of course, being, you know, greater paramahamsas than paramahamsas, then we don't care for any rules and everything goes, and, you know, so... Yeah. Like that. Yes? But was the Ugra form there? No, because the point is there's Ugra, right? And then after that, there's Prahlad Nrisimha, which is halfway in between. And then, after calming down there, then you see Lakshmi Nrisimha. When he calms down, then Lakshmi comes forward. And then he keeps going until he gets to the Yoga Nrisimha. That's the most peaceful. Right? So at one end, basically, you have, you know, Stanu Nrisimha. At the other end, you have Yoga Nrisimha. So once Lakshmi is there, then all the forms after that, then Grihastha's worship, there's no problem. That's the tradition. Simply because of rasa. You know, we say, oh, rules and regulations, but it's not rules and regulations, it's rasa. Oh, why is it we're discriminating, you know, we're not this body? But the point is that's not how it works.
It's because they don't understand what's going on.
No, the point is how are you going to worship the Lord? You're not your body, what are you going to worship the Lord with? Right? You're going to use your body. What body do you have? Right? Lakshmi is her body, and she's not using it. So your body, even though you're not that body, but it's still, that's what you have to use. So therefore, You understand?
Mm-hmm. They use the argument of equality as if it is something great.
Yeah, it's something great, and as if it is equality.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right? It's just like this. Man and woman, who controls the home?
Woman,
okay. Now we're saying that the place where the men work outside the home, we're going to make that 50-50. Where's the equality? And then when they do get equality, then you'll see is then whatever was the how you say, the bad behaviors of the men, the women will all be doing that.
That's basically the key. So the man is not doing his duty, so rather than fix that, now the woman is also not doing it.
Yeah, and then she'll also, but also just she'll be as bad, if not worse.
Just to prove the point.
Yeah, yeah. It means in other words, the nomenclature where a certain female behavior is shown in parallel with certain features of female dogs. Right? That term is not just used by uncultured men. Women use it probably as much or more than the men. Right? The men, it has to become really strong. Then they'll look at it this way. Women, some slightest, little, smallest little infraction, and immediately, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, so the point is we're dealing with something very, very strong. Because you're dealing with fire. Fire is very powerful. Yeah. So since when has fire and butter been equal? Huh? Then the fire becomes more. But on whose terms?
There is no butter.
Yes, that's what we're saying. Then it's equal. Yes. Yes, it all depends on the particular perspective. Yes.
What kind of possibly make like 10 million?
Because they're maidservants. This is not understood. This is also you could say a super major lack in the Western culture, which we doggedly stick to. If you want to have women work together, you have to have one woman who's head. Then everybody else, then according to their positions, can fit in behind that. That may adjust, but the woman who's on top doesn't. And the approval of the hierarchy is also up to that woman. And if you adjust with that, then 10 billion women can work together. And if you don't have that, two cannot work together.
What would make a woman happy to work under another woman?
Because there's common goal. You know what I'm saying? That's why she's on the top. You know, because you also have to be able to cultivate. It's not that she's on the top and that. She has to know how to deal. But there has to be the principle of, because she's kind to everybody. But they have to accept her position. So you always have that. Even you have Krishna has 16,108 wives. Who's the top? Rukmini. And it'll never change. It's not that you can make some politics and bring someone. That's why it's improper that the head wife, Dhruva's mother, became second to Uttama's mother. Right? So that's improper. That's why it messed the whole thing up. So that's not supposed to happen.
Right there.
Sorry?
Can you say
Kaikeyi
was the same?
She used her, you know, means Kaushalya would be the head wife. Right? But Kaikeyi, you know, because of her relationship with Ram and all that, then but she just took it a step too far. And so it messes everything up. So, you know, she got her position, Ram would go to the forest, and she, you know, and in exchange she got one dead husband. You know?
Not a great deal.
No, not so great a deal.
You think that the senior woman, she wants to, I mean,
No, but that's you have to know what you're doing. But if the principle is accepted, then you can work on how it should work. But if the principle is not accepted, you can't even start. Because let's say a girl is doing it properly, the others make politics and get rid of her anyway. Because they can all get together to get rid of her. And then once they've gotten rid of her, then it just turns into a, you know, I don't know, what would you call it, you know, like you said, feeding frenzy, right? You know, a bunch of sharks. Sorry. You understand? Because we're dealing with a nature, and that's just the way it is. So if it's used in its correct way, that power and everything becomes dealt in very nicely, becomes very wonderful. And if it's not, it becomes very unwonderful. Does that make sense? That's the thing. Something that's so special can take it either way. Something that's blasé in the middle, then it doesn't change much. You know what I'm saying? You know, every year you look at, you know, big program, let's say Academy Awards. So every year it's black tie event, right? So every year the men are showing up in suits and black ties, and right? And, you know, sometimes the shirt's white, sometimes it's gray, sometimes it's even black. You know, that's about it. You know, the lapels get a little wider or not, and, you know, there's a cuff on the bottom or not. Maybe there's pleats or not. You know, how high or low it's cut, how tight it is. Does it look two sizes too small, or does it fit? You know, any of those kind of things. But that's about it. That's the variety. So it's just very little like that. But what are the ladies wearing? You know, any colors and any, you know, kind of like, main thing is that the bottom touches the ground. That's the main thing. And other than that, I don't think there's many rules. At least if there are, J. Lo didn't hear about it.
Isn't saris are included?
Yeah, saris are included. Yeah, no, big things like that. There was one, I forget what was the name of the lady. Very big, famous lady, Academy Award. She wore a sari. You know. The point is that's where the variety is. So either they'll do something, and it's one of those out that. The dress gets a name, and they're still talking about it 10, 20 years later. I think there was one worn by somebody back in the 50s or stuff, or 60s. It's still one of the dresses.
Marilyn Monroe.
Marilyn Monroe, definitely that. And that, but there was someone else also, one of these, I don't know, you know, the ones from that era, you know. Yeah, stuff like that. Yeah, stuff like that. It's just so, and it stays. Then others, it's, you know, it's terrible, right? That's the guy. The guys, it's that, you know, he looks good, or, you know, you don't say anything. But they either, the girls look fabulous, or they look disgusting. You understand? Yeah, you understand? So that's just the nature of what we're dealing with. It's just the power that's there, the energy. So everybody whirls about the girl, right? Like that. That's the whole point. If you have a community, everybody's worried about the girls. Everybody's got something to say about it. So that's the thing. That's where the focus is. So, because of that, that is because that's what it is in the spiritual world. But there, it's because they're bringing out the highest rasas. Well, in the material world, then they're bringing out the reflected form. What was the Prabhupada used over here? But when the inhabitants of this earth also desire such heavenly enjoyment, when they somehow or another achieve imitation pleasures like sex and intoxication, they completely forget. Right? So here it's just imitations of that, and that's just imitations of. Right? So that's why the form is there, because rasa is the prominent element. And then, because rasa has its nature, therefore rules are there to make sure the rasa maintains. You know, just for example, in music, you have what's called jatis. You have the Samaveda, all the music's in the Samaveda, like that. And so then, and from that come jatis. So the music in the Samaveda is by jatis. So that means there's a group of notes, but there's technically no rules on the notes. but the jati has a particular flavor, so someone who knows the flavor can actually sing the jati. Because they can do all kinds of things with it. There's no technical rules. But because that's so hard and so difficult, the Narad Muni, he gave the raga system. Because then it says it has these specific notes. This one's the main, this one's supportive, this one's, you know, antagonistic. You know, these ones you can sit on, those ones you have to, you know, just glide through, these ones you skip. You understand, like that? So that there's a structure for it. So that means is because of its sophistication, and for us, and we need a structure. So in Braj, there's no structure, because they just naturally understand rasa, and so then they can manifest it to its fullest extent without any rules. Right? Then when that then comes down to the next realms, then it already has the form of rules. Right? Then it'll get down to Vaikuntha, then it'll get down to the, you know, the heavenly planets, then it'll get down to us. And then there's the Bronx. Yeah, Joyzy. Yeah. Does that make sense? Yeah, so that's what's happening there. So much of the time we get all bent out of shape about the rules, but actually it's not that. Does that make sense? So, it's that you function within that. But it will be, how do you say? The principles are always there. It's just a matter of how little or how much. Does that make sense? That's the thing. It may be very small, but it still will have those principles running. Does that make sense? Okay. When the fierce form of Nrisingadeva appeared in order to kill Hiranyakashipu, Prahlad was unagitated. He remained calm and quiet, whereas others, including even Lord Brahma, were frightened by the features of the Lord. Because they don't know what will happen, because they're worried about their situation.
Yes.
So they're not taking shelter of the Lord. Yes. Prahlad Maharaj is taking shelter. It doesn't matter what happens, because the Lord is your shelter. So then it's just the variety of his unfolding pastimes. Well, here they're worried how the pastime's going to go. Right? Lord Shiva continued. All the great sages except the Lord, all the great sages accept the Lord as the source of creation, maintenance, and destruction. Although he actually has nothing to do with these activities, therefore the Lord is called unlimited. Because he is beyond, he's what makes them, he pervades everything, he makes it, but he's not actually the one doing it. He is a person, doesn't do it, his energies pervade everything, and then there's somebody who's responsible. Although the Lord in his incarnation as Sesha holds all the universes on his hoods, each universe feels no heavier than a mustard seed to him. Right? You know, we're talking about how big. Just Jambudvip, how big that is, and Meru and all that. And that's just part of the whole thing. Then there's the coverings, right? And you said they were 10 million times thicker. And that's one side. So you have 360. So how heavy it is. And that's just the mustard seed on top of his head. If you put a mustard seed on your head, you won't even notice.
Every morning I carry blankets down from upstairs. They're heavy.
Yeah. Very large mustard seed.
That's a difference.
Yes. Yes, so we're not. Yes. Therefore, what person desiring perfection will not worship the Lord? See, here's the rhetorical questions they're asking. Therefore, what person desiring perfection will not worship the Lord? Since he is the perfect person. Like that. Okay. In his purport, Srila Prabhupada refers to a group of verses from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. That same Lord Vishnu, in the form of Lord Sesha, holds the planets upon his heads, although he does not know where they are, for he cannot feel their existence upon his heads. right? Because they only are the size of, I mean, the size of, weight of a mustard seed, so you can't even tell where they are on there, right? They're not going to fall off because it's by its potency that they're there. But the point is the universe, which measures 500 million yojanas in diameter. Okay, so that's how big it is, huh? 500 million yojanas.
Sometimes where it says like this, what is translated as universe, Sanskrit says words such as chiti mandala.
Oh, okay, so the universe meaning means our universe here, meaning our scene. Okay. Rest, but also all the universes are sitting. So outside of the Karano Dakshay Vishnu, all the universes are sitting on his head, they're supported. And then you have inside the universe, then all the planets are sitting on his head. Like that. So you get both things. That's why you have in the primary creation, it's the same thing. It's just there's the for the whole creation, the whole Mahatattva. Then there's for the specific within one universe. So that's why then for the Mahatattva, then Karana Dakshay Vishnu is the Paramatma. But then when you go into the universe, then Garbha Dakshay. Like that. The universe, which measures 500 million yojanas in diameter, rests on one of his hoods like a mustard seed. That Ananta Sesh is the devotee incarnation of Godhead. He knows nothing but service to Lord Krishna. Right? So he's expanding from the supreme personality of servitor Godhead. With his thousands of mouths, he sings the glories of Lord Krishna. But although he always sings in that way, he does not find an end to the qualities of the Lord. The four Kumaras hear Srimad Bhagavatam from his lips, and they in turn repeat it in the transcendental bliss of love of Godhead. He serves Lord Krishna, assuming all the following forms: umbrella, slippers, bedding, pillow, garments, resting chair, residence, sacred thread, and throne. Garments. So they're going to say Ananta Sesh is a pair of jeans? I think they have to rethink their philosophy here.
I think they're rethinking it all the time.
Oh, I see. Okay. Resting chair, residence, sacred thread, and throne. So anything that he rests on or is situated on or somehow or another is like that, that's all Ananta Sesh. Anything personal. He is thus called Lord Sesha, for he has attained the ultimate end of servitude to Krishna. Right? So, Sesha means the end. So he's attained that ultimate end of servitude because he does all these services for Krishna. He takes many forms for the service of Krishna, and thus he serves the Lord. That person of whom Lord Ananta is a Kala, or part of a plenary part, is Lord Nityananda Prabhu. Who, therefore, can know the pastimes of Lord Nityananda? We're talking about Ananta Sesha is so great and unlimited. He's just a kala or a part of Nityananda. So who can actually understand Lord Nityananda? Right, so.
He's not even an amsha. He's down that line.
Yeah, it seems to be. Especially here, you know, like that. Means the one holding up the universes and everything like that. I mean, all the planets and... Okay. Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila 5:117-125. Lord Shiva continued, "From that supreme personality of Godhead appears Lord Brahma, whose body is made of the total material energy, the reservoir of intelligence predominated by the passionate mode of material nature. From Lord Brahma, I myself am born as a representative of false ego known as Rudra. By my own power, I create all the other demigods, the five elements, and the senses. Therefore, I worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is greater than any of us," right? Because, as we see in the Sringa Purana, when it mentions about how all the different elements are expanded, then it's all coming by adding false ego. When you add false ego, then the air will then turn into fire. You add false ego again, then it'll turn into water. False ego again, it'll turn into earth. Right? So that's the catalyst. But there are also other places where it says time is added, because without time, how will it transform? Right? So it means all these. So therefore, he can say, "As I create all the other demigods and all these things," because it's by his addition, by he is the glance. The glance is himself, time, and the jivas. And so therefore, then you can say he's creating all these things. That's the fun part, you know. So there's no contradiction, because he's doing it as service to Krishna, because Sankarshan, Ananta is coming from Sankarshana, right? And so he's also expanding from this part. It means him being a transformation of Krishna, but it means transformation of the Sankarshana aspect of Krishna, right? Because Mahapurusha is Sankarshana, right? Then when you come into the universe, then he's Prajumna. And then when he expands again, as Kiradakshai, then he's Aniruddha, right? And then the Lord himself, say Krishna, then as the Leela avatars, he comes as Vasudev and performs his pastimes, and then Sankarsha, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha support and serve. Does that make sense? So that's why it's very important to be able to understand the fine points, so we can see the very nice elements on how Shiva is serving Lord Krishna. Right? What is he doing? So he says he's doing all this, but that doesn't mean he's doing it. It means this is the part he takes part in, because the potency comes from Krishna. Right? Yes, Shiva's Krishna's instrument. But he's eternally in that position, as Sesha's in that position. So it's not like us who, you know, sometimes we're in the position and sometimes we're not, depending on which way the wind's blowing and all that. What we had for dinner last night, how well we slept, you know.
Many other things.
Yeah. Is the internet working?
Yes.
Yeah.
Everybody could relate to that.
Yeah. That was it. The other ones, yeah.
And
that one.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. By my own power, okay. By my own power, I create all the other demigods, the five elements and the senses. Therefore, I worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is greater than any of us, and under whose control are situated all the demigods, material elements and senses, and even Lord Brahma and I myself. Even though he's doing it, still he's under the Lord. Like birds bound by a rope, only by the Lord's grace can we create, maintain, and annihilate the material world. Therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Being. So, as you know, he says, like birds bound by a rope, we can't do anything without. You can only fly as far as you're allowed. You know, that's the point. You don't do more. Like Sukadeva Goswami says, as birds fly at different heights, then I will speak the Bhagavatam according to my ability. Because the Bhagavatam is unlimited. Ananta Sesha is speaking Bhagavatam. So, you know, when we hear about, what was it, 1 billion verses? 1 billion verses of the Puranas. There's actually unlimited. But that's, you know, something that, you know, within the material world, we can relate to 1 billion verses. Right? Yeah. So it's actually unlimited. The Lord's glory.
Infinite.
Yes. Yes. So that's the difficulty. Okay. So, oh no, we still have another. Okay. A summary of creation is given in this verse. From Sankarsana, Mahavishnu expands, and from Mahavishnu, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu expands. Lord Brahma, who was born of Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, fathers Lord Shiva, from whom all the other demigods gradually evolve. Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and Lord Vishnu are incarnations of the different material qualities. So it's showing how it expands here. Right? Because this is also with the pastimes. But the principle is still there. Because unless you add the element of ignorance, and that, then how will you get all these different aspects? How you get the bodily identifications, how you get some things. Okay, so, and here.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Sarva Bhakti Vrinda ki, Jai Nitai Gaurav Vrinda ki.